Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty.
Stewardship. Not a topic that people like to hear preached. I'm going to recognize that right up front. It's not a topic that people want to be talked about often, because then you can be confronted with what you need to do. And I want to share with you from this scripture, and I want to share with you some ideas. You have my notes today in the bulletin. I wanted to make sure that you had them. I wanted to make sure that you could see them. One, because I've asked Jonathan not to put it all up on the overhead, because if we put it all up here on the screen, it will be too small for you to read it all. So you have it in your hand so you can read it. You have it in your hand so that you can take it with you and look over it. You have it in your hand so that you can come to me later and say, Pastor, I don't understand this. Because I want you to know that I'm approachable to talk about this. Stewardship is very important. And as you look down that page, you will see that there are four different areas that I'm going to talk about when it comes to stewardship. Most folks think about stewardship and they think only about money. Stewardship deals with a whole lot more than that. Money is only one portion of stewardship. It is a very important thing, because coming up at our business meeting, our business conference this next month, the stewardship team will be bringing us the budget for the new year. There will be a number of changes from what you've seen before. Sat down and looked at it this past Thursday night with the stewardship team, and there are some changes. And I just want to know, let you know that up front, so that when you have a chance to look at it, you can look at it, I hope, prior to the business conference, okay? So that you can see it and you can discern and understand why some of the changes have been made. And I'm going to talk about some of those changes here in a minute. The very first principle for me when it comes to stewardship is very important. If you don't grab a hold of the very first principle, the rest of it you'll miss. And that very first principle is, all things belong to God, and God has entrusted them to us to use for the kingdom, not just for ourselves. All things belong to God. This is God's smartphone. I use it, and God allows me to use it. But it doesn't belong to me. It's not mine. God has entrusted it to me that I might be able to use it to affect other people's lives, to encourage people, to lift people up, to help people. You've got to grab a hold of that concept. Throughout Scripture, God says, "Do I really need your sacrifices?" God says, I own it all. I own everything. And if you doubt that, then think about this. You're not going to take any of it to heaven with you. And if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not taking any of it to hell with you either. When you leave this earth, all of your possessions stay here. All of your possessions stay here. They're not yours. They belong to God. And traditionally, what happens, especially in our culture and our society, what happens is this. Someone gains together a whole bunch of stuff, and when they die, families fight over what's left. It doesn't matter how it's written out in a will. It doesn't matter how things have been designated. My grandmother, long before she died in her 90s, knew that she was not taking anything with her. She went through the house with sticky notes and stuck it on everything in her house on who it was to go to. And she called me one day very upset. And I was like, Gigi, what's the matter? She says, I've outlived the notes. They're all falling off. Folks, it doesn't go with us. It belongs to God. It has just been entrusted to us to use. And we are to take care of it. We've been given this building. God's allowed this building to be put up on this street corner, and we've been given this building. And if we don't take care of the building, it will fall down around us. It's been entrusted to us to use for the kingdom. It's been entrusted to us to take care of, so that when the back door is broken, we put a new back door on. It's as simple as that. As we found out earlier this year, we had termites. We took care of getting rid of termites. Okay? It belongs to God. It doesn't belong to us. We do call this our church, but it actually belongs to God. Now let's talk about money. I want to get the big one out of the way first. I believe you should give a tithe. I believe that tithe should be 10% of what you receive. Now, if you come to me and you ask me, Pastor, is that before taxes or after taxes? I'm going to tell you that's a wrong way of thinking. Because you're trying to figure out how to keep more money for yourself. If you're thinking whether it's net or gross, you're trying to figure out, how do I keep more money for me? I want to give you just the example of my wife and I's life. We started out in church in the early 90s, and I don't think we gave a tithe at that time. We did what we felt like we could. A tithe became something to work toward. A tithe became a place to work toward. So we did what we could to slowly increase that. Now I want to encourage you, if you're not giving a tithe of your income, start at an amount that you know you can right now. And think about, how will I increase that over time? How will I slowly increase that? We tried to teach our children as they were growing up by, we gave them an allowance. It was nothing ever special. Let me tell you that right up front. And I'll be honest with you, they got $5 every week. That's all they got. Deanne and I also gave ourselves an allowance, and we only get $20 every week. And recently I bargained to get a pay raise in my allowance. And I've been wonderful in that she was gracious enough to let me have a $5 pay raise. Here's what we did with our kids with their allowance. Every week, I gave them four $1 bills, and I gave them four quarters for doing their chores around the house. 10% of it had to go in the offering plate at the church. 50 cents. 50 cents had to go in a jar for savings. So 10% went to the church, 10% went to savings, and they were not allowed to touch that savings until they turned age 18. My oldest child was able to almost buy a car for cash when he turned 18 and graduated from high school. because of the money he had set aside. I did not realize, I want to tell you the fault that I did for him that I did not realize I did. This gave him no credit history, and it took him another 15 years to develop a credit history before he could get a credit card, and it made it much harder for him to get a car loan when he needed to get a car on loan. I didn't realize the mistake I had made then. But what we were hoping to do was we wanted to teach them that you could give 10% to the church, and you could give 10% to a savings account, and you could live off of the 80%. I never checked up on them on what they did with their $4. Not once. My youngest son, anytime we went anywhere, particularly when we went to a NASCAR race, he wanted to go to the souvenir trailers. So we go to the souvenir trailers, and he picks out what he wants, and the guy looks at me and says, well, that's going to be $55. I said, uh-uh, you talk to him. And my youngest son would pull out this wad of cash, all his $1 bills, and count them out to the guy and buy what he wanted to buy with his money. He knew we were going. He saved it up and waited till we got there. One of my children, I think, spent that $4 the day I gave it to him. I told him, I said, that's up to you. That's your money to do with as you please. Now, I also want to tell you this, not because I want any recognition, neither does Deanne want any recognition. The whole time that I have been a minister, we have always given 10% of our gross income. Every week. We have never been without. Even when I was making $15,000 for a total year with a family of five, we gave 10%. It was given to God first, and we lived off the 90%. My children never went without. There was always food on the table. I think until my daughter was five or six, we never bought her any clothes except socks and underwear. People in the church came to us and said, my daughter just outgrew these. Will you take them, please? Never bought her the first shirt or pants or skirt or dress until she was probably five or six. Now, I'm not bragging on that, but what I'm saying is it is possible to live that way. You see, when I went to Kenya with money in my pocket, I found out that the money I had in my pocket plus of what another gentleman had would feed a whole family for a whole year. And we had less than $500 together. We are one of the richest nations in the world. And we have the ability to buy tons of things that we don't need. I want to ask you to think about giving a tithe. And if you're not there, start in that direction by starting to give something. There's a great number of ways to give, and in our world now and day, we have to be prepared. Okay? Young people don't carry cash with them. Young people don't carry checks with them. And if that's the only way we have to give to the church, what's the chance we're going to get a gift from them? On our website, we have online giving. Through the church app, we have online giving. Yes, there is a cost associated with that. I use that every week to give to the church. Last week, when I wasn't here, my gift still came to the church. I didn't have to arrange for that. For those of you that say, I want my full gift to go to the church, add a little bit of money to it, and you're paying the service charge that we pay the company for collecting it for us. That's what Deanne and I have done. The convenience of giving that way is wonderful, I think. The convenience of it. I very rarely write any checks anymore myself. Please think about it. Please. Now, this passage talks about not just tithes, but it also says, God says, how are you robbing me? You're robbing me in tithes and offerings. Offerings are over and above your tithe, not part of your tithe. Tithe should be given first. Offerings should go on top of that. If you want to go by the Old Testament system of giving, we give 10%. I question and ask you to really do some research. Because people gave their 10%, but then you also paid a temple tax so that the temple could be taken care of. You also paid other things. It ends up being about 25 to 30% by Old Testament regulations, not 10%. Because there were other offerings that were given. For those of you that would say, hey, we're New Testament people, we don't do the tithe anymore, then I would just ask you to think about one thing. Jesus Christ gave 100%. And that's our example. I am very thankful that Jesus Christ did not give a tithe. He gave 100% of himself to us. And that's the example for us to follow. We should be giving 100% of ourselves to the kingdom of God. That's our example. One last thing that I want to talk about under money is designated gifts. Designated gifts are not helpful for the church budget. It is a way for you to continue to control your money and tell the church on how they must spend it. It's not helpful. If everybody gave to designated gifts, I doubt there's anybody in here that's going to give to the designated gift for the water bill. Or for the electric bill. Or for the telephone. You see, if everybody gives to designated gifts, it's not helpful. Came up with a good situation for you. I've got $1,000 that I want to give to the church, and I'm going to designate it to purchase an accordion. And I'm going to designate that the accordion is used in worship service every week, and it is played by Eric Crouchy. You can't be here anymore, Chris? No, okay. Just checking. Just think about how that $1,000 could be used by this church if I hadn't designated it for an accordion to be used for the worship service. Because once somebody gives a designated gift, it's locked in to what that person says they want it used for. And it cannot be used for anything else in the church. If the church needed $500 to pay the electric bill, and I designate my $1,000 for an accordion, $500 of that cannot be used to pay the electric bill. As I sat down with the stewardship team, they had already gone through, because I'd asked them to, looking at all the designated gifts that we have. And as many of them as we can, we're going to scratch. And they're not going to be there anymore. Because what happens with designated gifts is you give to the church designating it can only be used for this, and it keeps the church from being able to do things. Because that money cannot be used for anything else. It also keeps the church as a whole from deciding on how to best use the money that's given to us. Because it becomes locked in money that one or two people decided this is the only thing it can be used for. It's something that maintains control over your gift, and it's not really giving. So I decided that I wanted to give Gabby and Michael $20. They're happy now, right? They're both happy. $20. I'm going to give you guys $20. You can only go to Old Stage Restaurant with my $20, and you can only buy onion rings. Now, there's nothing wrong with their onion rings, by the way, okay? I've had it. They're good. Is that really a gift to them? Am I really gifting them then when I put so many restrictions on what they can use it for? You see, designated gifts are the same thing for the church. I hope that makes sense. If not, please come and talk to me about these things. The second area that I want to talk about when we talk about stewardship is possessions. Remember, God charges us to maintain, take care of, and use them for kingdom purposes. That's why they've been given to us. God wants us to use them for kingdom purposes. Now, those kingdom purposes might be for a car so I can get back and forth to work, so that I can earn money to live off for myself, and so that I have money to give as a gift to the kingdom. How are you using your possessions? Are you holding your possessions so tight that you don't allow other people to use them because something might happen to them? I really had to work on this for myself. I love fountain pens, by the way. This is something I've never told y'all. Don't go and buy me any, please. I have enough already. That's not true. I'll go buy another one. I love them, and I love the way fountain pens work, and I love the way they feel as you write with them. I love the ink that's used with fountain pens. And I have some fountain pens that I have purchased that it was probably illegal for them to charge that much money for that fountain pen. But, oh, they write so nice, and they feel so good. And God really approached me and said, "Would you let somebody borrow that?" When it cost almost $200, will you let somebody borrow your fountain pen? And that's where I had to learn to say, "Yes, I will." And what if they don't return it? Guess what? It belongs to God. It's not mine. I'm that way with my books. If you come to borrow one of my books, I don't write down that you borrowed it. And if it never comes back, my prayer and my hope is that means you're using it. If I need it again and it hasn't come back, I go purchase another one. Probably just meant it was a really good book and people are using it well, and I want to give the opportunity for other people to have access to it too. Possessions. Are they yours or are they God's? Remember, they belong to God, not to us. Whether it's your house, your car, or any other thing you own, it actually really belongs to God. Time. Any relationship without significant time given to it will fail. Any relationship. This includes a relationship with God. If the only time you give to your relationship with God is 1 hour on Sundays, or 1 hour on Wednesday nights, I'm going to tell you right now, your relationship with God is going to fail. Those people that say they come to church for 1 hour on Sundays to charge their batteries for the week, I want to know where you buy your batteries. Because I can't charge my relationship with God in 1 hour to last all week. You do realize there's 168 hours in a week. Do you tithe of your time to God? 16.8 hours. Do you give 16.8 hours to God each week? Now listen carefully. I'm not talking about being in church 16.8 hours. I'm talking about, do you spend that much time throughout your week working on and developing your relationship with God? Do you do that? Do you spend a couple hours? This will get me in trouble, I know, so come and talk to me about it later. We're getting ready to get into the playoffs for the baseball season. Did you know you can miss the first three innings and the final score is still the same? It doesn't change the score of the game. For those of you that think they need you on the other side of the TV so that they can win, that's not true. You can skip, it's football season too, by the way, so I might as well get in trouble all the way around. You can skip the whole first quarter and the score is still the same at the end of the game. What were to happen if you were to take the first three innings of a baseball game, guys, or even ladies who are sports fans, or the first quarter of a football game, and use that to work on your relationship with God? Which one's of more eternal value? Which one is of more eternal value? All right, I picked on the guys. I'll pick on the ladies that stay home all day. I think I heard somebody already say, whisper something about soap operas. Did you know you can miss two or three days a week of a soap opera and the story is still the same? How do I know that? Because I used to watch a soap opera in college and I scheduled my classes around the soap opera. Okay? Been there, done it. Don't ask me which one it was because I can't remember. Okay? But my roommate and I scheduled our classes around when the soap opera was on so that at least one of us could be home to catch the other one up every day. You can almost miss a whole week of soap opera and the story is still exactly the same. I've missed 20, 30 years of the soap opera I've watched. I bet if I go back and watch it, it is absolutely no different than it was in 1982. No different. Folks, what are you doing with your time? Are you giving time to God? That's part of stewardship. The last part of stewardship that I want to talk about is talents, skills, gifts, abilities. However you want to term those, those have been gifted to you by God. Are you using them for the kingdom of God? Are you using them for the kingdom of God? God's given them all for us to use for the kingdom. Some of you have wonderful abilities in organization. Some of you have wonderful abilities in being able to talk with young individuals about the life of faith. Some of you have wonderful abilities to do all kinds of things. Are you using them for the kingdom of God? I want to honestly tell you, when I am not able to use my gifts, skills, talents, and abilities for God, I feel severely lacking. I know some of you think, hey, he can talk forever. But the truth of the matter is, when I go home, I don't talk much at all. I probably frustrate my wife. Because she'll say things to me and I'll just nod my head. But there's part of me that I want to share with you about the kingdom of God. And that's a gift that God has given me. whether it's teaching or preaching. I love it. And the blessings are not just for me when I use those talents. The blessings are also for other people. So if I don't use my talents, skills, gifts, abilities for the kingdom of God, y'all miss out on blessings, don't you? It's not just about me being blessed. It's about other people being blessed. That's why we use our talents, our skills, our gifts for God. There's a passage of scripture in the Gospels where some servants are given talents to be used. And the one that doesn't use his talents, his talent is taken away from him and it's given to somebody else. I guess I could ask, but I know if you don't use your talent of playing the piano, often what happens to your ability to play the piano? That's why I can't play the piano anymore. No, that's not true. I never could play it. But if you don't use your talent, you lose it, don't you? If you don't use the skills and gifts that God has given you for the kingdom of God, Scripture says you will lose them. And they will be given to someone else. Stewardship. Something given to you and taking care of it. Whether it be a talent, whether it be your time, whether it be a possession, whether it be money. I've just looked at this one scripture, and this one scripture, God speaks to the people and says, "Will you continue to rob me?" And the people cry out and say, "How are we robbing you?" And God says, "In tithes and offerings." And God says this, "Will you not test me? Will you not test me and bring the full tithe into the storehouse? And I'll show you what I can do. Will you not test me," God says. God challenges us. So I stand here and challenge you today to give more than you've ever given. But I want you to remember, I'm not speaking about just money. I mean, I could very simply say that I heard one gentleman say this one time, and I think you'll like this. Today we're going to pass the offering plate, and I want you to reach into your neighbor's pocket and give like you've never given before. Isn't that the way we should give anyway? It's all about trusting God. It's all about knowing that God will take care of me. I have over 20 years experience knowing that God's going to take care of me by giving to the kingdom. I've never gone hungry. My kids have never gone hungry. We've always had a place to live. We've always had transportation. We've always had wonderful friends around us. We've always had God's blessings continually poured down upon us. How do you need to change your stewardship? In what way do you need to grow in your stewardship? Is it giving of money? Is it giving of possessions? Is it the giving of your time? Or is it the giving of your talents? How do you need to change your stewardship? Let's pray. Lord, we as a people who live in a nation where we have this dream that everybody can have all that they want. And that we'll oftentimes we speak about the American dream being much more than we have now. Lord, help us to realize that that's not what Scripture says. And that's not what Jesus did for us. Jesus gave of his full self. And Lord, you're asking us to do the same. And we design ways and think of ways and justify what we're doing by saying we don't need to do the same. Lord, that's an uncomfortable message. It's an uncomfortable message to know that what we have worked out and what we have designed is not what you have in mind. Guide us to know how to be better stewards of whatever it is. May we fully give to you in a way that truly would test you. Lord, you challenge us to test you in that way. May we take up that challenge. And may we give fully of ourselves and what we have, what we own of our time, of our talents. May we give fully to you as you would want us to do, so that we can see how you will bless us as a church, as a community of faith that says we give our all. Lord, help us to step in that direction, as challenging as it might be, little by little. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.